in their Bible? Okay. Just think about it. Ponder on that. Consider it, maybe. Wrong. Seven off, though. Ding, ding. Very good. That's a good idea. Everybody's ringer should be off at this point. Correct? Correct. There's still diehards sit over here, right? No. No, I think they're trendsetters.
Well, I'm antisocial on that side because I get my own bill.
All right, so everybody knows my name. Well, in start us out in prayer, right? The new girl?
I get it.
Yeah. Oh, I should grab a Bible, huh? Do you have good enough eyes to see this?
Yes.
No, that's nuts. I have like old man print. I have old man print right here. I did. I actually have the verses, but then I don't want you to feel like I'm not doing anything up here. I have them already on my computer. I cheat. But Tori, as she used to be known as.
Now it's you guys already.
Will, please open us up in prayer. All right, motivation is defined as that which moves one towards an action that will change or keep the same feeling on how we look at things. So what motivates you? Yes. Your family motivates you. Why? Just what about your family? You want to do good by them, meaning that you don't want to disappoint them.
Sure.
Maybe. Let's go with that.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else? I mean, what motivates you to work out? Your family. Nuts. He's just plain crazy. What?
Huh?
No. No, your family motivates you to work out? Anybody else? What motivates you? This is, sometimes when you go into a job interview, they might ask this question, actually. So it's something to think about. But what motivates you? Julia, what motivates you?
Safe food.
What motivated you to come to church? Your parents telling you have to go. No. You chose to go. So what motivated you to go? You don't know. You want to see me. What about you, Katie? What motivates you? Not, okay, yeah. DJ? Sports? Sports motivates you? What motivates you to do sports? Your friends? Just to hang out with your friends, have fun with your friends, or what? Or to win? It's all about the W? Right. Elena? You don't know? Think about something to ponder. Nick? What motivates you to write stories?
False hope.
False
hope.
You have no idea?
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Brandon? Do you know what motivates you? So love, love motivates you. Thought of something yet? No? Brendan? Come on, we're just about there. Might as well finish it up, right? Might as well finish it up. Might as well get everybody's answer, right?
No.
I kind of, well, I didn't really get an answer from you. Kind of got an answer. Adam? And I'll just give this a few more minutes, but then we'll move on. Tori? Your friends? Your friends? Did you say something back there? Huh? Your parents threatening you. Fear. Yeah, there's people. People are motivated by fear. Friends, Elena, what, your family motivates you, your brother motivates you, right?
No.
Your brother motivates you to be frustrated with him, yes,
yeah.
Oh, you know, the Bible deals, has a lot to talk about motivation. In Hebrews 10, this is the reason I had you turn there earlier, was Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Brandon, can you read that? Okay, so I'm going to look at verse 24, at the very beginning of verse 24, and it says, let us consider one another. So let us consider one another. You know, think carefully about leaning towards, before you lean towards a course of action in regarding somebody to have a specific quality. That's what considering is. So we're carefully thinking about others, right? Another person. And we know that they have a specific quality, but we think about it before we go to that course of action. As far as a motivation is concerned, one size does not fit all, right? It's not like your snapbacks or anything like that. It's a hat. It's a hat. sorry.
No, like one size does fit all.
Not on motivation, but one size fits all in some things. But it's a hat, and it has the where you snap it to adjust it to the size of your head. Yeah. There's all kinds of different hats. Sorry. Well, actually, I'm glad I informed you. So one size doesn't fit all. And what I mean by that is what motivates me may not necessarily motivate any of you guys. Just as you guys, I mean, there was a lot with, you know, love, family, friends, right? But there was other things that motivated you, right? And to some, you know, the motivation might be challenges, right? Mastering what is put in front of you. Sometimes people like that, where that's what motivates them to do math and such. Rewards, the thrill of winning. That motivates CJ, right? Some are inspired by fear of losing. Right? Doing everything not to feel that feeling. And there's many other things that motivate people. For some time, it's been decades, they try to make this list of personality traits. I don't know if you ever heard of people being type A's, type A type of personality, or type B type personality. So type A, they figured, is more of a high-strung person, you know, overachiever, where type B is more relaxed. He's kind of just chill, right? He's just sitting back. I think more there's a mixture. I think there's a mixture. I mean, there are some people that are just very high-strung and very relaxed. But I think the majority of the people is a mixture, because I think sometimes are some things everybody is high-strung on some things, right? There's a button. Everybody has this magical button that you push it and it gets them high-strung. And then in some things, they're very relaxed, right? There are certain areas of your guys' life that you're relaxed in, but others you're very intense on, right? I think myself, I'm more type B, but there are certain things, because type A usually likes to be on time, and I like to be on time. But I like to. I sometimes come in late, it happens, but I like to be on time. So I think there's a mixture. But in that motivation, if there's a motivation is hope, if your motivation is hope, in verse 23, our hope in Jesus, you know, is huge. Our hope in Jesus, we could count on it, because it says that he is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his promises. So we could count on that hope. So if that's your motivation, you have nothing to worry about. You should be motivated. King David spoke of his motivation in Psalms. So let's turn to Psalms. Not really. We'll be talking about Hebrews, but we'll be going back to Hebrews, but not necessarily reading again, if that makes sense. Psalms chapter 10. Oh, 40. Sorry. 40. Psalms 40, verses 7 and 8. So if you hit 41, you've gone too far. 39, you haven't gone far enough. So it's chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. Julia. So David knew, he knew without a doubt, he knew that the Bible was written for him. Just like it's written for each and every one of you guys. You know, this is personal, straight from God to you. Right? This is written for you. David is saying that his motivation in life is what? What's his motivation in life? Hope. Hope in what? Hope in God. It's close. I mean, you know, it is hope in God. You know, I delight to do your will. Whose will is he delighted in doing? God's, right? God's. He's delighted to do God's will. So that's his motivation, is to do God's will. Whatever happens, he wants to do God's will, and he wants God's words to be always on his heart. That's his motivation. This is very different from most of the world views. Most of the world views is what's in it for me? Sorry. What's in it for me? You know, it's more of a self-centered view is what the world view is. You know, the Bible does not teach us to be centered on ourselves. It teaches us to be other-centered. In Matthew, let's turn to Matthew. It's to the right. Matthew 23, 11 and 12. Katie. Okay. So what does that mean? Exactly. Big ego, it will be brought down. Right? But what if you, what's the word? Humble yourself. Will be exalted. What is exalted? Huh? Raised up. Blessed, right? Blessed or raised up means, yeah. So, you know, being the greatest will be a servant. The greatest will be a servant. So you're serving others. This is why back in Hebrews 10, verse 24, that's why the reason we consider one another, right? We consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So in order to stir up, what do you think another word for that could be? To stir up. What have we been talking about? What did I ask you at the very beginning? Motivation, right? To stir up, to motivate. So we are to motivate others, motivate love and good works, right? So we're supposed to motivate others. You know, we already established that there's many different ways people are motivated. If we were trying to motivate others, some would really appreciate a pat on the back, right? Yeah. Or others would want to be told the truth, you know, kind of straightforward truth, right? There's those. In all cases, there's kind of a line, kind of a boundary, right? Has anybody ever accidentally crossed that boundary, right? We don't necessarily want to cross that boundary. Things don't actually happen well if we do. Even with family, right? Even with family. Sometimes we think, oh, family. You know, I could beat up my family, no problem, right? It's just fun, right? I have an older brother, about yay big. I know he loves me, but sometimes words hurt. Sometimes him putting me in a headlock really hurts. But sometimes words hurt. So it's important to know and consider who you are talking to or talking with, right? Your one friends, because sometimes do you have those friends where you could talk this way with one friend and you have to talk a different way with another friend, right? Right? There's those times. In Ephesians, so we're going to turn to the right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Finally.
Yes.
After 3 years of guessing.
Winner, Ryan, can you read that, please? So we need to remember we are to motivate for good works. For good works. Not for what?
Bad works. For
bad works, right? Not for evil works or bad works. We're to motivate for good works. You know, we could simply call somebody a name, right? And that could motivate them. I don't know. I don't know why I did that. Habit. So we could simply call somebody a name, and that could motivate them. And that could even motivate them to crush us down so we'd never call anybody a name again, which in a sense would be good, right? Because we shouldn't be calling people's names, right? Right? Right. So... but if we were calling somebody a name, that would be a completely different from that verse we just read, right? We'd be missing the wisdom of that verse. Because what does that verse say? What we just read? Anyone? Right, right. And why is that? Is because we should be able to practice, able in to practice more to give compliments, right? We're to be a good example as Christians, aren't we? So we wouldn't be calling people names to try to motivate them. But there are sometimes, there is constructive criticism. Right? But that's a little touchy subject, and it's a lot harder to do in love. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to take, and it's a lot harder to give in love. But let's read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. There's kind of two things we need to keep in mind when we're doing constructive criticism. So, CJ, how about that? CJ, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. Okay, so number one is, it kind of reminds me of a Tim McGraw song. I knew that was going to happen. He's a country singer. He sung many songs. Tim McGraw sings this song, and the title is humble and kind. Yo, humble is not thinking yourself better than somebody else, right? So it's your lowliness and your gentleness, right? And kind is that you're doing whatever you're doing to help. You're trying to keep the peace. That's number one, but you're trying to help. Right? You have that caring that you want to do good. Right? So that's number one to keep in mind when you're doing constructive criticism. And then Romans, let's turn to Romans. So it's to the left a couple books. Romans chapter 15, 5 and 6. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Elena, can you read that? Okay, the second thing, and this applies to everything we do, is keep the Holy Spirit in the middle of everything you do. Pray. Always. Keep in prayer. Pray about the situation. Pray about what to say. Pray that you take it well and that they take it well. Right? So be in prayer. Now, even in suffering, our motivation to motivate should never vary. The Apostle Paul's motivation was not for money, it wasn't for fame, nor was it to be known as the best apostle ever. It was living for Jesus no matter what he was facing, no matter what was coming around the bend. In 2 Colossians, or I mean Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Nick, do you feel like reading a lot? Huh? Sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 22 through 30. Yes.
Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israeli?
Israelites.
So am I. And are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths more often. The Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. In a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robberies, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often I hunger, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the church. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? And I do not burden with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity.
Okay, we need to make sure to know that Paul is not boasting here. He's not boasting. These are things he's had to deal with. But what he's gone through, and he went through a lot, right? There was a lot there on that list. What he went through, and he stayed strong. He did not vary, did not waver in his faith. It's impressive. It is impressive. At least to me, it's impressive. You know, I was digging today. I hit a wire. I was following another colleague in a truck, and it was having trouble. So I was running late. And then I started thinking, should I even, maybe I won't make it to church. Maybe I should call. Right? I've woken up before on Sunday, think, oh man, I'm kind of tired. Maybe I won't go to first service. Maybe I'll just hit second service. You know. But then you look at Paul and it's like, would Paul have been doing that? Look what he's been through. You know, as Christians, we need to set that good example. That example that motivates, right? That example what motivates and stirs up what? Motivation. Well, that's what stirring up is. Good works, right? Love and good works. Julia, can you end us in prayer? Question? Your aunt? I should have prayed at the beginning. Well, Brandon pray, and we all. Then we all. How about we all get in a circle? All right? And Brandon will lead us in prayer. And mainly, we're going to pray. There's lots to pray about, but his aunt is not doing well right now. Her aunt over in New Mexico. So we're definitely going to have to lift her up in her family. Right?